Welcome to Binary Jazz, the show where I talk about D&D, a game that my two co-hosts have never played, and they pretend that they're interested.
It's true. Also true.
I'm here, as always, with Binary Gary on the internet, Gary in real life, or is it? And Allison Plus on the internet, internet celebrity Allison Plus, who is Allison Tarr sometimes in real life. Made it through another week.
I noticed yesterday there was a conversation about Twitter lists. Am I in on any? My freaking world on a bunch.
I'm sure you're on some.
I'm on a silly amount, actually.
Yeah.
Why am I on a WordCamp EU list?
That's always good when you're on lists that you don't even like, that aren't really applicable.
You're like, you're wrong. I didn't go there.
People to watch.
We appear to be on episode butthole. It's 1110111.
I thought you meant that we were on a list called episode
butthole. No. Well, I think now we should
we need to make that list, don't
create
we?
Create a list called episode butthole.
I thought you meant like the Binary Jazz Twitter account was on someone's list
called I have not looked like, at the list that the Binary Jazz Twitter account is on.
If that I don't know that I want to be on that list, or maybe I do. I'm very ambivalent on this.
Can I guess
wouldn't be the worst list I've been on.
Twitter.
I'm not even going to share the names of the lists that I had to block from my.
Yeah.
Hot WordPress chicks.
Are you on that list?
No. I mean, I don't know. I'm not. Okay. If
I do sadly, I'm not either.
I was on some offensive lists that I blocked yesterday. And I was like, nope, none of them. Don't look at my tweets ever again.
I don't think I realized that lists were actually like a thing that people used in Twitter, because I certainly don't use them.
I use them.
So, like, glancing at it, I don't know that I have a lot of housekeeping, but, like, I also feel like I probably should know. Maybe I block notifications when I get added to a list or something. I don't know.
No, Binary Jazz is not on any lists. Oh. Anyone's.
Maybe I should add us to a list. But like, I have lists, but they're private. So, like, we could, you know, like, it doesn't account for those lists. But like my lists are really boring. They're just private because they're, I don't know. There's no reason.
No, I get it.
They're on them.
Yeah, there's no public value. I get it.
It's like WordPress people that like maybe are important, but like I don't actually need to follow. I don't know. It's more of an obligation in my mind that I feel like.
Oh, so you could put people on a list and you go view that list, but you don't actually have to follow them. You can just curate.
Yeah, you can just watch that list.
Oh,
yeah.
That's an interesting use case that I'll never apply that would make my life better.
Because sometimes I'm like, oh, they do post occasionally like interesting things, but I'm like, if they're not like a well-rounded person on Twitter, I don't want to follow them.
Yeah. Well, apparently that's going to be kind of a feature that's coming to Twitter is sort of like the groups.
Yeah.
Which will be like Facebook groups, which is like a bunch of people that you don't necessarily follow, but you can follow the group, presumably, and then get all the stuff that people in the group are tweeting.
We should form our own group. We'll just get ahead of this.
Well, we already did. It's called Binary Jazz, and it's at twitter.com/binaryjazz.
Also .us. Not twitter.com/binaryjazz.us, just binaryjazz.us.
And maybe I was
actually— Sorry for the confusion.
I was thinking about this. Yesterday. Maybe we could have binaryjazz.github.io and use my fancy little profile-y thing.
I love that idea.
And then can you make like three profiles? It's just like all about us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's lovely.
I spent way too much time on that yesterday. Just styling it.
It looks amazing. If you're wondering what we're talking about, I wrote a thing in React recently. I wrote a couple things because I took a week to just dig into React stuff. So I updated my battle D&D battle tracker thing, which is now has an actual website and you can play with it if you really want. See, this is where I talk about D&D and nobody cares. It's called, it's at battletracker.jazzsequence.com. Go and play with it. And the code is on GitHub, yada, yada, yada.
That's also on the internet.
That's also on the internet. The other thing that I built later as a sort of one-off thing, because I was thinking about there's a service called Linktree that I see a lot of links from that people put in their profiles and their pinned tweets and all that sort of crap. And I was thinking, I actually like had the thought, because I have lots of social profiles and links and stuff to put in a tree. I was thinking, well, I could, maybe I should do something like that. And then I was like, well, but dude, I'm a web designer. I can build that thing myself. So I did. And I built a thing where you can just put all of your links in a little JavaScript file that just has like the name and the address and cool icon stuff. And then it automatically has a script that'll publish it up to your GitHub profile. If you don't have one, or if you do, then it will make it your thing. So it'll make your like your username.github.io if you follow the instructions. So I did that, and then Allison made hers.
And then it's on my to-do list.
Maybe we'll have a binary jazz thing.
I have to give a shout out to probably not a listener, Sarah, who is has a Code Thesaurus repo that I'm honestly as excited about as anything I've seen on the internet in a long time. The idea that you could pick a programming language and then see how that concept works in another language is how I want to spend my weekends.
Is it though? I guess maybe for Gary it is.
It was such a rabbit hole when I fell into it. I mean, I was like, oh, this is fun. I should look at this for 5 minutes. And then 2 hours later, I'm like, and to be clear, like right now, like it's very much a work in progress. So the languages are limited. I think there's 4 languages right now. And I still spent 2 hours hopping back and forth, like comparing and thinking about syntax and wondering why, and then looking at other pull requests and thinking about like, it's the pull requests are not actual executable code, but even so, it's still very meta programming and thinking about like, how would you present this in a bite size? I'm going to lose some time in it. And I'm pretty happy about it, honestly. Yeah, I have. I adopted 3 issues and open pull requests on all 3. And I think that this weekend I might adopt issues in a language I don't know to force myself to learn how to write syntax in that language. Because that sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it, everyone?
I just liked that I was like, oh, I know that person. Like, oh, I know Sarah.
Allison knows a lot of the cool people on the internet, it turns out.
No, I only know, like, I basically, of the 2 people named, I know 2 of them. I know no one else.
I mean, for what it's worth, though, I would retire with that batting average. Like, yeah, I know all the cool people that are on the internet this week.
For Hermit, I know. week.
Yeah, well, I mean, that week it was 100% of the cool people on the internet, so that's pretty damn rad.
Allison, this, I think we're not spoiling the announcement, because by the time this comes out will be next week, but you have a thing today, right?
Oh,
going on, you're going to be on the internet.
I will be on the internet in the past by the time.
So by the time you're listening or watching this, this will be a week old, but,
was there an announcement that I missed on this?
No, I am.
It's only on Allison's doing Twitter and her Instagram and her.
Yeah, if you don't follow me on social media, Gary, geez.
I've been doing bad with social media lately because.
You've been too busy with Code Thesaurus.
Because I'm like, at my computer, I'm like, what do I want to do? I want to look at languages I don't know. Hold on. Let me catch up. Just kill time for a minute. Let me catch up to see.
Well, I could just tell you.
Yeah, we could just, yeah.
And that's probably fine. Oh, well, here it is.
On my YouTube channel. Or not on my YouTube, I'm on YouTube on someone else's channel doing an interview and talking about tarot and the right amount of woo. So that'll be live.
Yeah. Tonight. Yeah. How did that come about?
Amy is a friend I made through YouTube, and yeah.
And she wanted to do a live thing, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, she was just like, hey, let me interview you on my channel. And I was like, what?
Slow down.
Well, no, because like I make videos, but like I record them and then edit them. And now I'm like, oh, now everyone will know how much I say and like that last one was me sticking out my tongue, dear listener. But anyway, so that's my like, I'm stretching my boundaries of this week.
That's awesome.
Sweet.
The 2 p.m.
And you can also watch the recorded version after it airs live.
Do we need to make
real time, and you can watch me on double, you can speed me up so it's not so slow.
Do we need to make a Twitter bot that's like launch library, but like allison.tv so people can subscribe in their Slack and know when you'll be on the air?
No, not at all. No. I don't actually think there's a Venn diagram of people that like care about binary jazz and care about tarot. I feel like there's like a slight like 1% overlap.
I mean, our listenership.
Well, let's back up a little.
Let's back up a bit. Our listenership is probably, I mean, I would assume, I haven't looked at stats because stats are dumb.
We should.
And we're on a million platforms, so it'd be impossible to get all the stats anyway, because we're on all the things now, and they all track individually. But I will place our listenership to approximately 10. So if one of those people is in the middle of that Venn diagram, is in the butthole, so to speak, then that would be 10% of our listeners right there. 10% of the listeners in the butthole.
Yeah, this is a very valid point. And I mean, I think that statistical significance arises at like what, 8%, right? Is a tipping point.
So, well, if I brought like 2 or 3 people on board to like listen to the podcast, it definitely means my chances have gone up, because most of the people in my life are at least somewhat supportive of me rambling about tarot.
I'm supportive of you rambling about tarot. I need to do
I am as supportive of you rambling about tarot as I am of Chris rambling about D&D.
There you go. That's all I ask.
I do honestly mean that. Like I do like hearing both of you be excited about your things, even if I don't know them. I feel like a grandpa when I say that.
You're like, I'm just like, glad to see you liking something.
I'm glad you're happy. Yeah, no, I am. I legitimately am. It does make me feel happy, even if I don't track all of it.
What's the Gary equivalent? Like a space launch? Like
apparently coding languages right
now.
I was gonna say,
yeah.
Space stuff. I mean, a week and a half ago, right? We had the Mars lander.
Yep.
I'm certain I must have posted about that in our Slack. Did I? I don't know if I did.
Yeah, there was lots of exclamation points, and you were like, "I can't believe this."
Okay, I was slacking in a lot of places that day, and I had 2 video feeds up, and I was trying to get the audio mixed so I could get the audio from one in one headphone and one in the other, and I just opted for the NASA audio feed and then the technical feed over here, and honestly, it was just so thrilling. And then on Monday, they had their press conference where they released like the, have you watched the video of the descent? So they pretty much like slapped a GoPro, like 7 GoPros on stuff. And so we have video of the parachute opening, and then we have video of the heat shield dropping off, and then video of when the like drone, rocket powered drone goes, and then the descent. And so the descent, we have video from both sides, like the drone looking down and the rover looking up. And then the one that blew my mind is like, oh yeah, the video feed goes out on the drone when the drone flies away, because the umbilical is no longer attached to the rover. And that was feeding the video. I mean, it's just like, there's this, this beauty like of this robot, like just arriving on Mars and us being able to actually witness it like in a real meaningful way for the first time. I'm getting choked up thinking about it now. So
I almost don't think that I mentally like actually register what's happening. I feel like, because I feel, I don't know, it still feels very abstract to me, I guess.
Yeah, I have trouble, like, so they landed, I want to say it was 15 meters from where they wanted to put down, or maybe it might have been less than that. Maybe it was 5 meters and I converted it in my head to 15 feet and I've confused them. But after like 126 million mile flight, they're within, I mean, like, I mean, within, you know, dozens of
feet. And I can't parallel long. Park, so go figure.
Yes. I missed my driveway pulling in from the grocery store the other day. Like, I hit the curb. Like, and to look at, like, to follow on Twitter, some of the folks at JPL that are doing this, like,
we need to get you.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I think about science, like when you think about scientists, right? Like it's the scientific method and it's like, you know, there's this and that and the give and take, and it's very dry and boring, right? Intentionally.
Need a Gary.
The scientific method is purposely built to keep emotions out of the decision-making process. And so we put science on Mars to do the study and stuff, but to see this team that have gone through, this team of engineers, like to have that celebration, like on a successful landing. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, what a cool piece of your career, you know? And here I am writing Slackbox.
So to put that into a bit of perspective, I guess what you're saying is that everybody needs to have a touchdown moment, a Mars landing moment, a moment worth celebrating in their life as like a capstone of something. So if that was a thing, think of what is one thing that would be that sort of like celebrating, like throwing your hands up and partying in the room with or without other humans.
Sure.
What would that thing be? I'm trying to think of what mine would be.
Well, can I first respond and say, I don't think that every job, career, or life needs that moment. Like,
sure.
I think that some careers inherently that moment is much more explosive because it's not built in. Like if you're in sales, you know, like there's like, yeah, I closed a sale. Like that's a hit. I'll call it an endorphin hit constantly, right? So like the counter on that is something that's very long. You know,
yeah,
like planning a mission to Mars or writing software or I think my most recent one honestly would be my most recent one honestly would be a pretty significant database cut over. What's that?
I was gonna say Code Thesaurus.
Maybe when it's merged. No, it was a database cutover where we, you know, like 150 sites with no downtime went from the local database instance to one in the cloud. Like that's, you know, that took a little bit of planning. And I mean, it wasn't like the biggest, you know, project of my career, but it was also super exciting to get it right and to have the plan in place and execute, you know, the spreadsheet. And so that was a fist bump moment. Right.
I think mine would be either getting my permanent residency or my citizenship for Canada. Not that, I mean, like technically, like, did I do anything? I mean, I filled out a hell of a lot of forms. so I feel like that counts for something. But I feel like that was a real like, woo moment of progressing down a different path.
But, you know, you're going live in a couple hours, so maybe that'll be...
That'll be my new moment.
That'll be your new moment.
Live on YouTube. Real-time Allison.
Yeah, real-time Allison. RTA.
I mean, you guys get to experience it every week, but for most people, it's just...
Yeah.
Real flash.
Well, I mean, like... Real-time Allison isn't going to be that much different than Binary Jazz Allison. It's just because, like, we don't go in and edit out all the ums and...
I know.
Do we not? I think I was told early on that this is a very heavily edited show.
Yeah. Yeah, you were lied to here.
The secret is that, like, I'm not even in the edited version.
Yeah, right. It's just gaps of silence.
The edit is Gary, like, being distracted or mumbling or, weird, like, missing the point.
Disjointed.
I think I can...
Gary walking off camera.
I think I can speak for other Dungeon Masters when I say that I think part of the attraction of being a Dungeon Master is having those moments where your game just comes together, your players click or whatever, or like they figure out the thing that you've been like hinting at for the last several months or whatever, when something at the comes out and you have just a really good game session and it's like, yeah. And it's, and the thing is that thanks to the internet, Dungeon Masters can kind of get together and celebrate those wins with each other through Discord or Twitter or whatever. But traditionally that's going to be a solitary moment, mm-hmm, a little inward, because no one at your table is going to really be able to grasp all of the stuff that you bring to the game. And I definitely think that that's something that influences me. Like when I live for the times when things just work out really well or do a thing that I didn't expect. Like, so here we go, talk about D&D again. spoiler alert. Last night, in our family game, they ended up following a story thread that I didn't actually anticipate them following in this way, where essentially there's a town that they are in and they're trying to elect a new speaker because the old speaker got killed by a giant and they've already taken care of the giants. So there's these two people. One person is sort of widely respected and known. Her family's been in the town for generations since its founding, but she doesn't really want the gig. And she tries to pawn it off on the characters. And then the other person is secretly being blackmailed by this like criminal underground network. This person had killed somebody and sort of ran from there to escape authorities and has been living in this town for a while. And the criminal syndicate has been blackmailing him and making him do things for them. Otherwise they would release that information. So they follow that thread following him, like literally to another town, many, 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 many hours away. They get to overhear a conversation between him and the speaker of another town, who's actually also a member of the crime syndicate. They actually witness them sort of organizing a group of thugs that are going to go back to the town and just stir stuff up. And he's going to come in and be like the savior of the town by like defeating all of them or whatever. And they manage to get back and find the people that came in and they like start an encounter or they follow them. And then they end up like beating up killing all of the bad guys before they could do the thing. So like they end up being the ones that save the town and he gets caught and his secrets are revealed. And that was kind of cool, like to have that whole, because that was like a little story thread that was there and you could follow it, but mostly you could follow it in the context of like, this is a thing that's happening in this town in the background. And these are like the motivations of all the different characters and stuff. And they just went with it and followed that whole thing, and I thought it was pretty cool. It made it so that I had a thing to write about when I wrote the notes afterwards. I write notes to my game. I'm a really big nerd.
It's fine.
That I have a similar note that I have a recent win in is I've been playing with the idea of a zombie apocalypse within Dungeons and Dragons, a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. And this came out of a Quora answer that came up in my daily digest. The question was like, what is the thing that zombie apocalypse movies miss? That like all zombie apocalypse movies always miss. And the answer was, well, this isn't really that they miss it. It's an intentional thing. They always start in the middle. So you always miss the beginning, always. Because if you started at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse, then it would be super, super boring. Like it'd be people in a lab developing a virus or whatever. You'd like see all, like, but it's all like now. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be all that, like, yeah, exactly. So you start in the middle when you've got like the dude with a shotgun shooting a zombie in the head, and you find out, oh, there's zombies and here they are, and they can only be killed by shooting him in the head or whatever. So yeah, I was thinking like, well, but in a D&D game, in a long-running campaign, you could start at the beginning. You could like start to tease these little things happening in different areas and start to tie them together. And I thought, that's a really interesting idea. So I started like going down that rabbit hole of like, what would that look like, and who would motivate it? And I actually was able to put it into the context of the other game that I'm running by like combining one, like, a thing that I was playing with, an idea that I had, where there is this succubus that they encountered, and she killed one of the party members, and I had it in my head that she was going to raise him and make him be her minion, sort of. So like that combined, that whole thing combined with like her like studying like dark arts and like learning about all this undeath stuff and like deciding to just fuck shit up and like create this virus.
I have a larger question of how do you keep track of all these things? Like, you have notes, obviously, like copious amounts of things.
I do have notes, but a lot of this stuff ends up like, it starts out in my head and I have these interconnected threads for like things.
I guess that's it. It's because it starts off in your head.
Yeah.
It's easier.
The notes are so that I can go back and maybe read something or like refer to it later or just to sort of solidify. So I spent, I don't know, like an hour or so this week, just writing down all my thoughts about how this character, who's just a little character in this one like pre-written adventure, I'm going to make her into like a larger big bad and sort of the architect of this plague. And then she's going to basically set it and forget it because she's got other interests elsewhere. And like, what are those things? What is she actually after? And who's she trying to get at? And then I was able to tie in a whole other adventure module into the mix of like where her like lost daughter was trapped in this dungeon thing. And like so I can have like different things that will be happening sort of concurrently. And none of this is stuff that I'm like planning for like the next session or anything either. This is like a couple
percentage of times where people like where your team doesn't pick up what you're putting down.
Oh, all the time.
Okay.
Like 99%.
Because you're like, I have created an entire plot over here.
Yep.
They just need to go into this cave.
Yep. Yep.
And then they're like, walk by the cave. Like,
I mean the secret that is not so much a secret, but that I keep coming across in all the things that I read about dungeon mastering is that that is a normal thing, is that you're gonna create all this plot and story and whatever, and they're just gonna go right by that cave entrance. They're just not even gonna care. It's nothing. So the idea is that you just keep planting these seeds, and eventually if you keep planting the seeds somewhere, they'll pick up on one of them, and then they'll
all go, roads lead to that damn cave.
Yeah, there's a cave over there. Yeah.
I was reminded, Chris, you said something about notes and I had to pull up. I actually keep notes just for everything and arbitrarily, and I have a category for binary jazz, and I never reference it on the show, and I eventually just delete things from it. Often we talk about it in Slack and it takes care of itself. Gets so outdated. I'm like,
you have a notes of things to talk to us about,
not to talk to you about, but like topics that I want to bring up, like that. Yeah, like that I would like Allison and Chris's opinion or ideas on this. And so often that's how some of that stuff makes it into.
So it's not notes. It's not notes about things that we discuss on the show. It's notes about things.
Oh, God, no, not even close.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're holding out on notes about stuff, if you're holding out on stuff that of notes that of stuff that we were talking about, I'm going to like come down on you because I need those for show notes.
There is no, not at all. But this, you reminded me. Number one, that I should actually look at my notes. Are we really only, we have 10 minutes
left. Episode
really
butthole is the title of the episode. Today.
It's in the can. It's in the butt. So I have notes that I never bring up, but I have, did I miss a spit take? Did you spit while I was looking over that way? it was simple. It's very simple. This one, we had a conversation last week about everybody being named Raven. And I changed my name to Gary Raven Tobject on Twitter, which was important. But secondly, this spawned a conversation about the gender binary, and Chris shared a tweet that was very helpful for me, and I would like that to be in the show notes this week. That's it. That's the note.
Cool. Yeah. Can be done.
I found it extremely helpful in my definition of what non-binary means and fixing my definition. So
that was that was
like throwing a note card or something now.
That was a video that was done by a person that I follow on Twitter, Critical Bard, who is a non-binary TTRPG, tabletop RPG creator and person.
Glad you defined that.
And they just, it popped up in like as a, this person went live on Twitter and here's the link. And I wanted to go back to it to watch it because I expected it to be pretty good. I think I've seen them speak on various things. I think they spoke over the summer on like the D&D. They had some sort of virtual event over the summer, and there's like a Black creators round table. And I think they were on that. And they've been outspoken in a lot of other ways and stuff. So I generally expect good things from them. So yeah, that was pretty, was that Critical Bard? I think that was Critical Bard, or maybe that was Orion. No, that was Orion. I'm totally wrong, but they're both.
Just check the show notes.
They're both Black non-binary RPG people.
I'm really glad that you.
I think that was Orion.
Expanded on your TTRPG acronym because I was a little lost there temporarily.
Tabletop.
I knew the RPG part, but.
Yeah, because you say RPG, but that could mean, you know, a video game. So TTRPG is tabletop.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I heard RPG. But conceptually, like I thought, I don't know, maybe TT is like a universe that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, two
TTs. Of which there are many. Hey, I also, the other note that I should refer to, because it's a recurring thing, I wanted to ask, when was the last time that you declared that the internet is garbage?
Ooh.
So I feel like I do it every episode.
I feel like you do it every week.
Well, if I forget, it's not on purpose. I could do it every week. I should.
When was the last time I felt
declared the internet as garbage?
Declared the internet as garbage.
Mine was yesterday.
Yeah,
it's still early here this morning. When I saw the tweet about how to remove the battery pack from the dog that the New York Police Department has purchased from Boston Dynamics. Yep, that's when I was like, oh, this is way too similar to all the horror movies I watched when I was younger about future dystopias. This sucks. The internet is garbage. Actually,
that's more reality is garbage as opposed to the internet is garbage. If
the internet's just telling you about it.
Yeah.
How much happier would I be without the internet?
So earlier this week, a WordPress person that I know and respect, Mika, had wrote a blog post about her harassment experience that has been going on for the last 2 years, for being the really being the sort of main plugin review team person. Such that like just ongoing as a result of like this developer being an asshole and getting their plugin and themselves banned from the plugin repository and then just continuing to harass her for 2 years. That was the last time that I said the internet was garbage. So that was earlier this week.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
I got to go to WordCamp Miami a few years back, and I don't know what talk it was. Mika did a talk, it was good. But then later on, there was another talk about something else very technical. And like, you know, at the end of a talk, when people like start like, instead of asking questions, like pontificating, like there's a reason that she's so effective in plugin reviews. And that is because she can, I feel like she can immediately identify like purposeful conversation and bullshit conversation. And so she was like the voice of reason and shut down this like pontificating a couple of individuals and got it back on track because the room monitor was not, I don't know, whatever, able to.
Yes.
It's such a skill that seems just
I know
lost.
there's a confidence that it takes to do that, and I don't have it. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
She's a lovely human and doesn't deserve this shit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She came out. I had invited her to come out to WordCamp Salt Lake City. I was actually trying to figure out the year, which I believe ended up being WordCamp Salt Lake City 2015, I think, which was actually possibly the first year that I actually sent out invites to people to come out. It was like, hey, this is an idea. I don't know how it's going to go. I'll just sort of shot in the dark. Let's invite some people to speak at WordCamp. And then people said yes. And it was like, cool, I can do this more. And then I was doing it every year since. And got some really awesome people like Allison Tarr spoke at a WordCamp Salt Lake City.
I exist.
Yeah. In real life. We don't have really.
You exist in real life, and I exist in real life, but we can't confirm that.
Only Chris can.
I can. Yeah. I'm the.
He's
I'm
like the Bitcoin key that we're both stored on.
That's way better. That's way better than like the hub or some other.
You're right, Gary. It was Orion. Okay, so we don't have any questions, but we do have. We should pin that list of questions that Gary brought a while
ago. Oh, I think I might have.
Well, okay.
Is it?
We could do that.
What's the weirdest food you've ever eaten?
Weird. Scorpion soup.
Weird seems like a trick.
Yeah, I agree. It's poorly phrased. What food have you eaten that other people would find the most weird?
An odd food that I love that is more of a weird combo maybe is peanut butter and pickle sandwiches.
Wait, that's for real?
Very accessible, but weird food, I think.
I saw that as I was scrolling through Twitter apparently 40 minutes ago. And I thought that was a joke, but that's really like a sandwich you like, peanut butter and pickles.
Yes, you can. That's delicious. I started eating them in high school. I don't remember why. I saw someone else have one and I wanted to try it. And then I was like, oh, this is actually really good. It's something about the crunchiness and the saltiness with the peanut butter. Go figure.
Maybe I'll try it.
I don't know that I eat a lot of weird food. I think I had some alligator at some point, but I don't feel like that's that weird.
I agree. I don't think alligator is very weird at all.
Yeah, I mean, you lived in Florida.
You used to eat a lot of alligator.
I tend to avoid weird foods too. Like I've eaten some weird fruits, but like any kind of fruit that you can eat isn't really that weird by definition. So
no, what is it called?
And I refuse to eat insects.
Durian.
Yeah, I've had durian.
I've had other. I have to get the name of this.
When I was in Sri Lanka, I don't remember.
Awara is like about that big. And it is, I had to look at the name, so I don't remember what it is. It's like this stringy orange colored thing. It's oily. It doesn't have a lot of flavor. It's actually like if you were to like eat the outside of an orange, I think is what it is. And I bought it from a street vendor when I was in South America, like a whole bundle of them. And then my teeth and my lips were orange for days. And I had, like, I couldn't get the stringy stuff out. And
everyone like was three like, out oh, of three. He had a
yeah,
bet.
Look at the tourists. Yeah. Yeah. 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10. not a good fruit.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a lot of that I would say that I eat a lot of weird food. I would say most of the food that I eat is pretty normal. Less than a minute. Do we have another thing?
What's the last song you listened to?
Last song I listened to. Oh, well, I know.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.